Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How are you?
I am. Are you?
I am, too. So, have you cursed any good-looking trees lately?
Yes, I have, actually. However, I'm being shown some things. I don't need to curse in some respects. The good-looking trees that I've gotten rid of, I was just shown that that's all they were, was good-looking, and they weren't producing anything, so all I did was quit doing them.
Oh, rather than cursing them.
Yeah.
Well, I find that quite challenging that you would get an instruction, curse the tree that looks good but it isn't bearing any fruit. As a matter of fact, after reading your article and shifting my viewpoint on the story, because I recognize the story, it's one that I've seen you put in a couple of your books, I believe. You're shifting the viewpoint on the story from it being the typical Christian lesson of displaying or using it as a example of using God faith. Actually, I find the story somewhat offensive now. I'm offended. Or, sorry, not offended. I shouldn't say that. I look at it in such a different way that I'm thinking, well, why would you ever want to curse a tree?
Why did Jesus curse a tree?
Well, see, the excuse given, and see, now I'm looking at it as an excuse by Bible teachers, is that he was using it as an object lesson. But the reality is, the real truth is he was angry and cursed the tree in anger, which seems like an abuse of power, in my opinion. What do you think?
Well, I've asked the question forever. In a variety of ways, I've challenged you when you say the traditional. Wait a minute, I got to go back, because you just said something that really taught me, and that was that the traditional teaching on the subject, I don't think what I have been sharing for these many years is traditional teaching related to the same faith that he had, using it. That's what I do usually, and that's what's in a couple, three of my books.
I agree with that, and you do it, and but you focus on the God faith.
Okay, now then, I still do. I don't see it as a detraction from it. I just see it as an essential I missed. You know, it's interesting. One night, I had a small group of people call me and ask me if I'd come over. It was a woman that egged her husband on to call me. And her reason being was they both knew that I was a, quote, man of faith. There was a woman with a brain tumor, diagnosed with cancer, and hospice was already called in. And she was about ready to die and all this stuff. And the upshot was she was healed, totally, really. A dramatic situation. And when we're leaving the house, the guy that had called me looks at this tree in the yard and he said, "Man, would you mind killing that tree as a demonstration?"
Oh, gosh.
Can you imagine? And I said, "You've got to be kidding." He said, "No." He said, "That is an ugly tree. I'd like to get rid of it." Oh, man.
Go buy a shovel.
Huh?
Tell him to go buy a shovel and a chainsaw.
Yeah, exactly. So, what came to mind then is coming to mind now. You're looking for a sign. You're not going to get a sign from me. You had your sign. You know, the woman is healed. Now, that's what I thought. I didn't say that. I just laughed it off. But he was serious. Anyway, it was what I was shown the other day was that there's so many things that look good that aren't. You know, Christianity on the face of it looks good.
Sure.
But it isn't.
Not really.
No, it's a rebellion. It's, you know.
It may shape you, if we look at it as in the metaphorical viewpoint of the tree, it may provide you with some shade, but it's not going to feed you. And you need to go to where the source of the food is to actually get some food.
So, now, what's interesting is I feel like I've been instructed, and I haven't questioned it. This is interesting. I'm stumbling along here because I've lived with the revelation forever to come out of it, but don't judge it. And I've got to go back inside to the source and say, okay, wait a minute. Have I been looking at your instruction to me with blinders on and only getting one part of it? And I think that's a legitimate question to ask, because obviously I was only getting, if this is true, I believe it's true, this new revelation I should have gotten a long time ago, then it would carry forward that maybe I need to ask about, well, what was the instruction not to judge? And I'm getting a partial right now of that. Cursing the tree of Christianity from my vantage point, not everybody else's. And I'm not supposed to judge other people that are involved in it. Now it's coming to me very clearly. I'm supposed to curse every part of that tree in me and get rid of it, because one, I have no business being involved with it. I have a tendency, frankly, to be seduced by it and want to mollify teachers and preachers and all kinds of stuff, and I've got no business doing it. What's that to me? This has come so forcefully to me this morning. Now I understand why. My favorite saying, a favorite saying of mine, Jesus, is, that came out of his mouth and straight from spirit, was, what's that to you? You come follow me. And that's why I need to curse it and say, no, I'm not going to eat from that tree ever again. Nobody's going to eat from that tree. That's it. It's got to die. Why? Because it's rebellion. Pure and simple.
What's rebellion?
Christianity.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm saying this now. This is for me. I'm not laying this out for anybody else. Yeah, but I've got to ask the source, okay, spirit parent, what on earth do I do with this? Because you told me not to judge it. And so I need clarity. So I'm just going to have to start demanding clarity about it. In other words, I don't know what I'm talking about right now. I know the article was right on and right from his heart, her, his heart, but anyway, you asked me a question somewhere back there and I'm befuddled. So.
I don't know that we're actually looking at this article the same way now. So you may have looked at it one way when you first were given the information, and now you've moved on from there. And so in our dialogue, to me, you've moved on. Whether you curse the tree or kill the tree or ignore the tree or don't judge the tree, or that's not necessarily in your article. And I'm going to get down to what the bottom line is to me in your article. And it says, being Jesus is not being perfect. And this story displays that perfection. Wow, hey, this is it's a very obvious story that Jesus, the man, clearly struggles from the same things that we struggle from. You know, when I look at the part of the article here that you've written where you talk about the narrative in the Bible, he was hungry. He spent the night outside and he was hungry. Well, what happened to, I have food that you don't know of? You know, and if your faith is so strong, Jesus, why did you have to cross over brambles and rocks to go to that fig tree? Why couldn't you just picture a fig tree further on down the road?
Or just miraculously produce a fig in your hand and eat it.
Exactly, and on and on and on and on it goes. You know, in essence, I don't know whether I'm standing in the position of the Pharisee looking up at Jesus on the cross and saying, heal thyself, physician. You know.
No, different issue. Don't get off on that one.
Well, the point is that this not being perfect aspect of Jesus, not only did he wake up hungry, he made the wrong decision in his pursuit of solving that problem. And then on top of that, when he realized that his pursuit of solving the problem of hunger led him to a dead end, he ended up cursing the dead end rather than himself or his own behavior. I mean, give me a break. Come on, Jesus.
Wait, whoa, wait a minute. You're saying that you're looking at it that way. That's the way I looked at it when I wrote the article. I thought it was being revealed to me. So you're on the same page as I was and am when I wrote the article, and I still think that's what it's, I still think that's what it's revealing.
I think so too. It's very clear to me, very clear that Jesus was a temperamental, temper tantrum throwing little baby.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. He was just human.
Oh, just human. Oh, so then that means when I display human qualities of similar nature, then I guess it's just okay.
No, it's the same deal. See, what we've done, now here's the essence, I think, of what I am chosen to help people who have the ears to hear. God, that's patronizing, but that have the ears to hear it is, as long as you're making Jesus special, you're going to get misled.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
And that's where your thing comes from. He was perfect. I'm perfect. It's okay. The perfection is when we're connected. Okay. So he was discontent. He was disconnected momentarily, and you just eloquently put it out there.
Are you so sure he was disconnected? Are you sure? Because it seems that God's power, or the source's power, flowed through him to curse the tree. Negative focus.
I'm not saying that. You're nitpicking, Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying that at all. We never lose our connection. Okay.
We just lose our awareness of the connection.
There we go. That's it. So, Jesus was perfect in the same way I am perfect and you are perfect, always, because we are connected. It's just we lose our awareness. And he lost his awareness.
He certainly
did. I like that. Now, that's brand new. You made the statement, I thought, eloquently, that he cursed the wrong thing. He did. He shouldn't have been over there in the first place.
No. No business being there.
And yet, he still had the faith of God to kill the damn thing.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit more going on than we perceive, right?
I have to leave it at that right now, because I know I've got to go in and really start humbly demanding to get clarity. I think the article stands, and I like it, and I don't have a thing to say negative about our discussion about it. I think this has been productive for us both.
I agree, and this story very clearly illustrates that Jesus, the man, was far from perfect. And also, one thing I want to point out is that Source honors all the choices that you make, whether they're curses or not curses, or whether they're blessings or cursings. You can use your mouth and mind and actions to accomplish both, and both will come about.
And you know, Ryan, that's perfectly stated, and let me say, and with this, I close. isn't that awful? Oh, how many times I used that from behind a pulpit. Good grief. And with this, I close. That's after I talked too long and I saw a bunch of people sleeping. Thought maybe I ought to help them wake up. With this, I close. Now I'm going through all that and processing in my memory that. I forgot what it was I was going to close with.
Maybe that's apropos. Thanks, Brad. Close with that. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, Ryan, per usual, thank you for the call.